Hello, this is your Polycast for Monday, May 4th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulkey in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the state Senate prepares to pass a tax bill. There are lots of tough issues as the session heads into its final 2 weeks, and one farmer tells his story of the avian flu. The Minnesota Senate is expected to vote today on a tax bill that looks significantly different from the one passed by the House last week. Senate Democrats are proposing a $460 million bill that provides about a tenth of the direct tax relief that House Republicans have in their $2 billion package of cuts. DFL Senate Tax Chair Rod Skoy of Clearbrook says there's a wide gap to bridge between the two bills, but he said negotiators can begin closing that gap once House and Senate leaders give them a new number as part of an overall budget agreement.
It's not going to be $2.2 billion. It's not going to be probably $150 million. It'll be somewhere in the between. And then the chairs of the House and the Senate conference committees will have to start working toward that target.
Republican Senate Minority Leader David Hahn of Eden Prairie said the DFL tax bill is inadequate.
When you've got a $2 billion surplus, you would think that we could find some way to offer some meaningful reform to our tax code and meaningful tax relief to the people of the state. This bill doesn't do that. When we had a significant deficit when we were in the majority, we had a tax bill that offered more tax relief than this bill does.
The DFL bill includes tax breaks aimed at getting jobs for unemployed veterans and creating housing for workers in rural areas. It also increases state aid to local governments. And taxes is just one big issue where leaders disagree at the state capitol, with just 2 weeks to go until the deadline to finish. DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach, Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd, and DFL Governor Mark Dayton are still far apart on major issues. Tom Scheck takes a look at the players involved and what's at stake.
You'd think it would be easy to reach a budget deal when the state has a $1.9 billion surplus. But the pot of money is so big and the political philosophies are so different that a way out seems hard to find. And whatever deal is cut could mean major changes for education, health care, tax policy, and transportation.
There's no question that, at least in terms of actual dollars, we're as far apart as I've ever seen.
DFL Senator Dick Cohen is the longtime chair of the Senate Finance Committee. He's served in the legislature since 1976, so he's been through plenty of budget battles. But these disagreements are new. House Republicans are proposing a $2 billion tax cut, eliminating the popular Minnesota Care health insurance program, and just a small increase in school funding. Senate Democrats want a smaller tax cut and more spending for all areas of the budget. Governor Dayton proposed the smallest tax cut of the three and wants more money for early childhood education, schools, colleges, and universities. Cohen said, for a deal to work, all three sides need to walk away with something.
It's a three-cornered negotiation. And it's not, you know, everybody gets their way all the time. It doesn't work that way. Never has, never should.
Each of the three main budget players is staking out his position. Governor Dayton is looking to build on his legacy in his final term in office. He's drawn a line on universal pre-kindergarten for four-year-olds and on improving water quality by requiring farmers to leave buffer strips near lakes, streams, and rivers.
I'm not going to back down on the things that I've identified and will continue to identify as absolutely essential for me to have and absolutely essential for Minnesota not to have. And I'll be here for as long as it takes to achieve that.
Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd is coming from a different perspective. The former car salesman has to make his pitch to skeptical Democrats that state government should shrink when there's a budget surplus and that the extra money should be used to cut taxes. On top of that, in order to end the session on time, Dowd may have to sell a budget deal that doesn't include those priorities to a conservative caucus. And like any car dealer, Dowd has to set a walk-away price from Dayton.
I told him that I thought his budgets were just about as far off target as ours. So I hope the governor's willing to move. If he's not willing to move, we're going to have trouble.
DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach is a union negotiator who fancies himself a master dealmaker. Outside of the Capitol, Bach spends much of his time hunting and fishing, two hobbies that require lots of patience. Bach signaled he's willing to wait out the speaker on taxes.
He says, well, I have to have a tax bill. And I said, well, you know, I really want to get a transportation bill. And he said a second time, well, I have to have a tax bill. And I said, you know, I'm willing to consider matching you dollar for dollar. For every dollar of gas tax money he's willing to give me in that bill, I'm willing to give him a dollar of tax relief.
Republicans have repeatedly said they won't support a higher gas tax for transportation projects. But Republican House Tax Chair Greg Davids of Preston said he also knows $2 billion is not likely to be the size of a final tax cut.
I'm working on some scenarios. What if it's a billion? What if it's $500 million? What if it's $400 million? What are the priorities of the House?
Lawmakers have until May 18th to reach a budget agreement. If they don't, the governor will be forced to call lawmakers back into a special session. 4 years ago, a standoff over the budget between Dayton and Republican legislative leaders forced a partial government shutdown. At the start of this session, all sides said that wouldn't happen again, but now with the clock ticking, no one is ruling it out. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News, at the Capitol.
Minnesota poultry farmers are experiencing the crisis of a lifetime. Avian influenza has decimated turkey and chicken flocks, with nearly 4 million birds lost to the disease. Since the outbreak began in March, the virus has inflicted a financial and emotional toll on farmers. They're wondering if they can survive. Mark Stile introduces us to one of them.
Standing near one of his barns that was infected by avian flu in Meeker County, lifelong turkey producer Greg Langmull can only shake his head in amazement at the damage the disease has caused.
This is just completely mind-blowing. I mean, I just can't believe the devastation that this disease has plowed through Minnesota with.
For poultry producers like Langmull, avian flu is the worst disease outbreak they've ever seen. In 2 months, the virus has hit farms from the Iowa border to near Canada. The H5N2 virus has cost farmers millions of dollars in losses. Langmull lives in hard-hit central Minnesota, where dozens of flocks have been struck down. Farmers are keeping almost constant watch over their birds, supporting each other, and wondering which farm will be next.
I'm texting some guys at 3:30 and 4 in the morning, and they're in the barns or in the offices, and nobody's sleeping. I mean, you go to sleep out of sheer exhaustion, and the moment you wake up, your mind starts and you're done.
Despite his best efforts to keep his turkeys healthy, Langmull's initial luck in avoiding the flu ran out in mid-April.
The manager called and said, they just don't look right.
The barn in question is just 100 yards or so from where Langmull is standing. Visitors are not allowed inside the building. When he got there after the disease was first reported, he saw right away that the 11,000 turkeys in the facility were sick. Only a few had died, but the rest were acting like they might be the next to go.
In the morning, there's always a lot of chattering and running and flying and jumping, and there was none of that. Just complete silence.
Tests confirmed that the flock had the H5N2 virus. Within 4 days, the disease had killed nearly all his birds. Turkeys in two other barns on this site were killed as a preventive measure. It was a difficult thing to take emotionally because Langmull and his workers pride themselves on keeping the flocks healthy. The financial fallout was just as harsh. Langmull says he hasn't calculated his loss, but says it likely will be at least $100,000, but probably a lot more. He says he's not sure if this decades-old turkey farm will be able to keep going.
We're sitting here watching the equity that we've built in this business over the last 50 years, 60 years, get flushed down the toilet, and pretty tough to survive.
It will be months before he can put turkeys back in the affected barns. That lost production will reduce the year's expected revenue even more. State and federal regulators must recertify the barns for production before turkeys can be restocked in the buildings. Langmull says there should be more federal or state help available than what's being offered now to help producers through the financial turmoil of the bird flu.
I've told each of my staff independently that we're going to spend everything we got in the checkbook and then we're done, but we're not going to quit until we're broke. It's damn serious.
What began as a single outbreak in Pope County in early March has grown into a battle of survival for the state's turkey industry, with no end in sight. Langmull and the rest just hope the disease will back off and give them some time to regroup, financially and emotionally. Mark Stile, Minnesota Public Radio News, Meeker County.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.